dealing with them. Number one, the me and God Christian. I love God, but I could do without his Christians. They don't encourage me enough. They're such hypocrites. I grow more close to God when I'm alone than when I'm with other people. I don't come to church much anymore because my schedule is busy, and I don't really get fed. But anyway, don't worry. Me and God got this. Next is the at all costs, let's just hang out Christian. Let's just do life together. I love church. It's a great time to socialize with other people. We don't need to do any study. Just be present, be friends. And I don't want to say anything to people at church that might hurt their feelings. And I'm sure the problem will work itself out anyways. Less preaching, more potlucks. No, hey, these are real things I've heard. No agenda. Christian growth is organic. At all costs, let's just hang out. Now, these examples might be extreme to you, and you might even find yourself falling into some of these patterns or categories. But I really want to ask, I want you to ask yourself as we go through this text, if I'm identifying myself with one of the categories, then how do I pursue living out the true marks of a Christian? See, answering and responding this question of ourselves will result in a sacrificial living. As we see in last week's text, and also it will cause us, as we see in last, saw in last, last week's text, and also it will cause us to long for a deep unity where we are serving the body as unto God's own glory. So as we get to our text, what we are going to learn and apply together is that by grace, we judge ourselves soberly, as one body in Christ, serving each other with gifts of grace. So if you have your Bible, please open it to Romans chapter 12, and we'll be looking at verses 3 through 8. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads, with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Guys, let's pray. Father, this morning, as I come before you, as we come before you, I want to acknowledge my frailty. I want to acknowledge that I don't come up here under the authority of my own wisdom, but I come up here in submission to your word. And God, I ask if anything else, that we can see the beauty of glorifying you, that you'd scrape away everything that's of no worth, and you'd stoke up a love for you. So Father, your words are amazing, and they're true. So I ask that you help us to understand and see this, see the value and the beauty of following you, God. God, give me the words to say, and help me to not say what's of no worth. God, I ask that together we glorify you in this time. Amen. Last week, as we looked at verses 1 and 2, a living sacrifice, and as Colton preached through those verses, we learned that We are to present our bodies as living sacrifices, that we might be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that by testing and discerning, we may know God's will for our lives. What are the implications of these words? We're not our own. We are to live fully to God with a mind completely transformed by the truth of his word, so we can discern our Father's will. So as we move on to our next text this morning, we see in our first point, in verses 3, by grace we judge ourselves soberly. The very first words of verse 3 are so important for us to examine because they are the groundwork laid to apply the rest of the text. Paul says at the beginning of verse 3, "For by grace given to me, I say." The way Paul is addressing the Roman believers in this passage encapsulates and sets an example for us today of the balance between boldness and humility. And we see that the balance is found only in the grace of God. That by his grace alone, we are called and able to live a life that is pleasing to him. See, we need to understand that God has sent Paul by grace to call us to think soberly. This shows us the heart of a father to his beloved children, where he is telling us to look at ourselves clearly and soberly. See, a lot of times when we look at this verse, you see soberly, and you replace sober with somber. See, sober is saying, don't think in a drunken mind. See things for who and how they are. See things in light of how God has equipped you and how he's meant you to function in his body. This is an amazing thing about the heart of God as our Father, that he does not come to us and tell us as an angry dad to get it through our heads how to act or else, but he comes to us in grace, prompting us to think and to consider and to act soberly, because we need to consider how and why we do what we do and how that affects the rest of the family. So see, to live by our ability alone is very limiting, and it never yields a fruit of service like the text is calling us to. So Paul's words here are incredibly important, that it is by the grace given that he instructs, and by grace we submit and apply. That we would be able to, in faith, through his grace, pursue a life that is pleasing to him and edifying to the body. Paul continues in the verse that each of us is to think in this sober way by the measure of faith that God has assigned. Paul is not talking about saving faith here, but by the measure of the faith that you have as someone who is saved. Some of us have a strong faith that is unwavering. We simply and strongly trust the will and the way of God. And some of us have a faith that wrestles. We trust God, but we have to work in that and to really press in, which is why Paul is really telling us to think soberly according to our measure of faith. That we would think soberly and faithfully, where we are then working out the gifts we have been given by his grace. So to understand that we are supposed to judge ourselves soberly is that we're not to think that we are designed to function alone with God. And guys, I really want you to grab onto that. We are not to think that we're designed to function with God alone. That what's being said is twofold. One, God has given us something to be used. Two, but not something that is to be used alone. So by the measure of faith given to us, we are to press in and pursue his body as instruments of his grace for his glory. And that leads us to our next point, as one body in Christ. Paul says in verse 4, as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. I know for anyone who grew up in the church or is familiar with the Bible, when they see it say, in one body we have many members, it's almost a no-duh moment. Before you move on, I really want to ask you, do you live to God like you're a part of a body? Guys, if there's one thing this culture is telling us, it is that you must be independently successful. Just look at social media, and even our culture as a whole. It's literally a photo booth of other people's high points and accomplishments, just to show the rest of the world how well they're doing at life. But God says, what I have, or what you have, I gave you. And a life lived to me will not be a life lived alone. You are a part of a whole. I want to remind us that the imagery Paul is using is that of a human body. Moving on to the rest of verse 4, God teaches us that the members do not all have the same function. So when we think about hands and feet, eyes, ears, and toes, the expectation is not for hands to smell and eyes to help us walk. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 through 26. And it's important to remember that Paul uses the same imagery within the context of a church that was calling certain giftings and functions within the church more valuable than others. Let's see Paul's response. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of... If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unrepresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. We see that we are called to function at different capacities, working together as a whole. Nobody is less a part of the body, and nobody's work should be seen as less. When the 80-year-old writes a letter of encouragement to someone in the church who's sick, when the 10-year-old mows the lawn of a widow at the church, when a middle-aged man gives godly counsel to younger men, when the older woman comes next to the overwhelmed stay-at-home mom and just loves her, when young guys challenge each other in the church to live honorably before God instead of giving into the culture, you are serving the body. Guys, how are you called to serve? Verse 5 says, so we, though many, are one body. And I ask, what is the common bond that binds this body together? What is our one heartbeat? It's the one who said to Peter, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The bond that binds us together cannot be anything other than Christ. We are one body in Christ. And without Christ, guys, we're just a crowd. And one thing I hear more than any anything in my culture, in my context, is Christians are called to live life together. No agenda. Like that. Those weren't cute words. That's something I hear over and over and over. We don't have to study. We don't have to point to God. God's already brought us together. So let's just be friends. By faith in him alone, we are justified. And only by faith in him alone are we unified. Christ is our real agenda, guys. And I want to ask you, when you come together, are you pointing each other to Christ? Guys, I'll be really honest. When I look at you, a lot of you just scare me. I'm an introvert at heart. Comfort to me is definitely not standing in front of you this morning. Comfort to me isn't even walking into a crowd of people I don't know. I'm not good at construction. I don't really know much about cars. Heaven forbid, I don't even really watch football. That's okay. I opened the door. You know? So guys, for me to press into you, I have to wholeheartedly believe that you are God's gift to me. Guys, I'm telling you, if you want to press into each other, you have to be looking to Christ. Your common ground has to be Christ, and your conversation has to be Christ, because this world hates our agenda. This world hates our goal. The goal of this life is self-realization. The goal of this life is to find yourself and celebrate yourself. God says, I called you out of darkness where you couldn't even look up to me. I shone my light down on you. And guys, Christ says, I am the greatest goal. He opened our eyes so we could see what is true and what is beautiful. And he said, I give you a body to support each other. And I give you a measure of faith so you need each other. We're only whole when we're together, but we're only whole when we're together in Christ. So guys, I encourage you, if you want to come into community, if you want to be in community in this church, start with Christ. Find your commonality in Christ. Ask each other, what's Christ doing in your life? How can I serve you? I mean, the whole point of this text is saying we need each other. But how do we know what we need? How do we know what the other person needs if we're not coming into each other's lives? But I'm saying the doorway into the other person's life in this church is through Christ. If it wasn't for Christ, guys, I wouldn't be in front of you today. If it wasn't for Christ, I wouldn't even be here today. I'd be hiding in my room, reading a book, watching a movie, doing what the world wants me to do and be distracted for the rest of my life, chasing a false dream. But I'm telling you, our dream is realized in Christ. Brothers and sisters, God says that we are to live to him as living sacrifices, and we do not conform to this world, but are transformed by the renewing of our mind. From worldly mindedness to God-mindedness. And God says, for his glory alone, we are one body in Christ, members one of another. Guys, anybody can hang out, but only we have fellowship through Christ. Are you basing your fellowship with others in Christ today? After we see our unity found in Christ, the text goes on to say in verse 6, serving each other with gifts of grace. God has given us gifts and told us to use them as the church for his glory. And the order of the gifts that we'll go through, there are seven gifts mentioned in all. The order, as you see from Romans to 1 Corinthians to Ephesians, is absolutely changed. It's at random. The point of this text isn't for us to go nerd out on spiritual gifts. The point of this text is to say, God has given you a gift. But how are you to use that gift if you're not already serving each other? See, the focus shouldn't be on what it is as much as are you faithful enough to use it? And the reality is, God has given you something. Like I woke up this morning and we just moved to a place that's beautiful and we live in the middle of cow fields right now. And you just look out and see the expanse and see you see the mountains and the sunrise. I mean, it's just immense. The immense God of the entire universe, of the world, of where we live, has given you something to be used for his own glory. That should be received with thankfulness. But it also should point. It should point the person who's being gifted by it to Christ. The gift of prophecy in proportion to our faith. If service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. See, if you guys are sitting here like, okay, I'm on it. I'm with you. I want to serve. And I want to serve how God wants me to serve. First, start looking for areas that you can help, where you see a need, fill it. And when you keep doing that long enough, you'll start to know where your God-given strengths are. Are you someone who, when someone's down, you can get right alongside of and say, guess what, brother? God called me to be here with you. And God will give you the strength to get through this. You come up next to and you exhort them. You encourage them. Or are you someone that God's given you a godly word to put into their life when they need direction, when a hard thing needs to be said? Or are you someone who's been given the opportunity to give? Are you giving generously? Are you someone when someone is in need and is hurting, you feel compelled to go next to them and help them practically get through that? In everything that we do, guys, are you pointing others to Christ? Because he has given you gifts. He's given you something beautiful to be used for his glory. Before I end, I want us to go to Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 5 through 7. This is jumping ahead of a lot of really important groundwork. But I want you to see what submitting your entire life to God, I mean, that's what the text before mine was about, was living fully to God as a living sacrifice with a renewed mind so we can know the will of God. God's telling us right here that he's given us something and it should be used for his glory, but it's used together for his glory. In Romans 15, this gives us a beautiful picture of what a church submitted to him using our gifts for his glory looks like. So 15, verse 5 through 7. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Key words, for his glory. For the glory of God. How do we do this, guys? How do we do this? Because it's so easy to come away from Sunday looking at the next thing to do, the football game, lunch, and then like halfway through the afternoon, totally forgotten everything that just got said this morning. But Paul, through God's own authority, says to the Romans and spread out to us that we are here together for a purpose, and that is Christ. And we need to press into each other in Christ, guys. So I ask you today, is God true? Is God true? Were you called to him for a purpose? Has he given you amazing, infinite gifts? Is your greatest desire to see the most beautiful encapsulation of beauty? God is the source of beauty. Is your greatest desire to see God? Then will you glorify him in the body? Don't say yes if you don't mean it.
I mean yes.
Because when you say yes, you stand before God this morning. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And if you don't have an answer yet, don't give it. I want you to leave asking that question. Do you take what he says seriously? Will you obey him? We love him because he first loved us. And so this is an expression of love to you this morning, but it must be taken seriously. Will you feed on the gifts that Christ has given you? Okay, guys, I'm going to close this in prayer.